you have been in law enforcement for a couple of decades and in Fargo Police for a number of years, and so you've been around this city for quite a while. How has it changed in regard to law enforcement over the time that you've been in the Fargo Police Force?
You know, there's a number of different changes. Some of them are fun to talk about, and some of them are a little frustrating as the course of time has gone on. But, you know, when you think back of even my early days, there wasn't a whole lot of technology involved. I mean, you pretty much had a patrol car and a notebook, and you received dispatches over the computer system, but the computer system wasn't certainly as complicated or as elaborate as it is today. The guys and gals that are out there either taking calls for service or following up on investigations, cell phones, you know, just that has changed the way that we have to investigate crimes. It's pretty intense when you think about all the extensive technology that's being used by all of us every day, and trying to investigate crimes that involve all that technology has certainly been a game changer. But the one cool thing about my time so far with the police department here locally is just the continued support from the community. So I'm very appreciative of that, and I know that our men and women are very thankful for that too.
There's a lot, obviously, just day-to-day work and kind of the routine things you have to do. But as far as initiatives or changes or things that you want to see done differently, tell me about the first thing that you're working on. What is it, if you take a look at something where you want to kind of change the tone or change the tide or bring some change to the department, and it's going to take a little work, rolling up your sleeves and collaboration and all that, tell me about the first thing you want to change in that regard.
Yeah, internally, I think we've still got some addressing some longstanding staffing shortages and you know, workload pressures. I feel like that's really a top priority because it doesn't matter which rank you're at or where you're at in the department, civilian or sworn. Like those workload pressures and dealing with that is just top priority. So we definitely need to figure out some efficiencies, whatever those look like. So excited to work with our team in all the different work groups to try to work through that. And, you know, we've got some facilities issues as it relates to making sure that our staff can stay out in the southern edge of the city. So just kind of working really hard as to figuring out through collaboration and, you know, just kind of some crazy ideas as to how we can manage that as we get spread out pretty thin throughout the city. So really looking forward to trying to put a good solid plan together so we can take care of that. And then, you know, externally, we've got one of the frequent phone calls that I get is dangerous driving behavior. So working with our traffic safety team to continue the excellent work that they've done this last year, but maybe just doing a better job at sharing what we're doing on a regular basis with that group of people to address dangerous driving behavior, because man, they've been doing just a fantastic job. And then probably one of the other priorities is just general perception of the overall crime that's occurring either in the downtown or in the Fargo area. So just maybe doing a better job at sharing, you know, through our media partners and through our social media channels, all the great work that our men and women are doing.
What do you think, Travis, is the biggest crime problem that Fargo has right now?
You know, it probably depends on which neighborhood or what your perspective is, but I don't want that to turn into word salad either. So specifically for me, it's definitely the war on drugs here. You know, we've got a lot of narcotic activity that's coming through our community with two major interstates coming through. So working with our local and federal partners to make sure that we're addressing that as best we can, and working with our state's attorney and U.S. Attorney's Office to make sure that those get prosecuted to the best of our ability. So when you really think about it, a lot of crime, whether it's property crime or personal crime, somehow, some way, it seems to circle back to the drug trade in some fashion. So that one to me seems like a top priority.
Yeah, and I have respect for your choice of words there. You said, you know, I don't want to be word salad. I don't think it is, because I would guess that in a city of this size, you have different issues in different parts of town. So I'm guessing that your answer might change depending on what neighborhood you might be in that day, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I'm actually excited about is when we go to our community meetings, you know, each community area has their a little bit different perspective. And so it's exciting to me to be able to kind of walk them through how we're trying to address their issue, but then also sharing with them how that fits in the much larger puzzle. Because if we focused all of our time and energy into, you know, one small area of our community, well, then that leaves a lot of our community uncovered or feeling unaddressed. So yeah, there's different areas of the city where they would say the, you know, drug trader, or what they see or hear in the media, that's their top priority. You get down into another neighborhood, they're talking about dangerous driving. You go into another neighborhood and it's kind of fun because maybe their biggest concern is potholes, you know? And so getting to walk them through how we're trying to address all those things as a city and as a police department, is really exciting to me.
You have an authorization for 186 sworn police officers, if my research from the city is right. So 186 is kind of what you're supposed to have. What are you at right now?
Yeah, so actually our current authorized strength is 201 sworn members. So as a total department, civilian and sworn, we're at 232, but 201 of that sworn. We did get the additional officers this year as it relates to public safety sales tax, which is fantastic. We sincerely appreciate the community support in making that happen, for both police and fire. So that's a really big deal. The issue for us, as I, you know, kind of brought up initially talking about our longstanding kind of staffing shortages and workload pressures is, you know, when you hire an officer in January 1 of this year, you know, we're graduating a class on the 26th next week. They were hired in January. So now we're already halfway through the year before they've even completed their academy training. Then the next step of that is they're in the field training. So what we call PTO training, you know, those folks then won't graduate that program till late fall, early winter. So, you know, October, November, December, sometime in there. And then they're finally out on their own. So really, when we're approved for those positions, it takes us just about a full year, if not a little bit longer, to get them hired and trained before they're out on their own. So we really have to stay on top of that. So that's really a focus for us. One, making sure that we're retaining people. And two, making sure that we're recruiting that next generation of officer and employee so that we can continue the good work that we're doing